Well, I need to confess something to you guys this morning, that I'm definitely not a skier. And that's very evident in my life, as I've tried a few times. And the last time I did that was up at Copper Mountain in Colorado. And I'm going down the mountain and trying to turn to the right, and it's not working out too well. I'm kind of losing my edge. I'm noticing that there is the edge of the mountain. So I decide to fall down, which I did a lot of that day, but and it worked out well because I didn't go off the edge. But now I'm in the snowbank, and I realized that now I can't get up, and I happen to be waist deep in snow, and you might say that I was overtaken by the snow, in fact. And it actually, I needed my buddy to come alongside me. Actually, it took two, but he needed to help pull me up out of that. To dust me off, get me back on my feet, and he actually skied with me the rest of the way down the mountain, and I think it took an hour. I don't know. It was a green one. It's bad, but I'm glad that I did it. But today, gentlemen, we're going to be in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. So if you could turn there. Remember that Galatians was written to the church of Galatia, and the first part of the book talks about the false gospel from false teachers. And then the next part of the book goes into Paul's defense of that gospel. And then the last part of the book talks about the practical effects of the gospel in people's lives. How should it be being lived out? And so this leads us to Galatians 6, 1 to 2. It says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Let's pray this morning. God, thank you for this time with these guys and your word open in front of us. God, I pray that it is your words this morning and not mine. God, your words and not mine. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Our passage this morning is about this, guys. Restore your brother. Okay, restore your brother. And how do we do that? I'm going to give you four things that you need to know to restore your brother. Four things that you need to know to restore your brother. Number one is that you should restore. You should restore. Look with me at verse 1. Right there in the text it says, "Brothers, you, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness." Now, if anyone is caught, okay, the Greek word for that could mean a couple things. One, you're catching your brother in a sin, kind of like you catch your son or daughter taking a cookie, something they shouldn't do, whatever. And then the other way would be your brother actually being caught up in the sin, overtaken by it, kind of like I was overtaken by the snow. And that's the case in the text here as well. The next part, so if anyone is caught in any transgression, transgression here is the same as sin, fall, lapse, to deviate from, being overtaken by. It's important to note that the transgressions, they are against one another and against God. Let's look at what this text, this first part of the text here does not say. It doesn't say that you who are super committed and don't struggle as much as other people, you should restore. No, that's not it at all. It says, those of you who live and walk by the Spirit, you who are spiritual, you restore with gentleness. The word restore is the same word that is used to describe a doctor setting a broken bone. You know, if I was getting my broken bone set, I would want someone who went to medical school, you know, did their internship, residency, who was trained, not in dermatology, but, you know, orthopedics, and somebody who hopefully, you know, he'll set it with precision, gently, carefully, patiently, checking the x-rays to make sure it's going well. We need to restore with that kind of care. Gently, patiently, carefully. Think about how you would want to be restored. How would I want to be restored? I would like my brother to tell me about the sin they've seen in my life. Remind me that I need to confess and repent. Walk with me through my struggle. Pray with me. Help keep me accountable as long as it takes. All in a spirit of gentleness. No. None of this is possible unless God has transformed your life and given you a new heart. That's key. So if you're not sure about that, then you need to come talk to me afterwards. But just keep in mind, God does this work. Alright. The first thing in restoring your brother was that you should restore. Number two this morning is you keep watch. Look with me at the last part of verse 1. It states, right there in the text, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Guys, it is clear that we are going to struggle with sin. We're going to stumble. We're going to battle with sin on a daily basis. To keep watch here means to consider yourself or observe yourself. Notice this is present tense. It's ongoing, never ending, always happening. And, you know, when I'm trying to make my golf swing better, you know, I am constantly checking myself. I'm looking at how I'm gripping the club, where am I aimed, how are my feet, my takeaway, my backswing, my position at the top, my downswing. I mean, there are so many elements that I am constantly looking and checking myself. I might even videotape myself, look in the mirror, you know, but I'm always checking myself. No matter what kind of golfer I am, or you are, Phil Mickelson, or me, right? You're always checking yourself to make yourself better. And you know, weightlifting is another example. You know, when you're in the gym and you're lifting weights, you're constantly checking yourself to make sure you have the right form. Where are my hands? Am I doing the right exercise? Am I too fast, too slow? You know, there's mirrors all around the gym, right? So you can watch yourself. you know, it's the same way when we're walking with a brother. Guys, we need to, with humility, continually look at ourselves through the lens of the gospel. Even if you think of yourself as the most spiritual person or the worst sinner, new Christian or old Christian, doesn't matter. We need to continually be checking ourselves. Four things that we need to know to restore our brother. Four things that you need to know. Number one, you should restore. Number two is that you keep watch. Number three is you bear burdens. You bear burdens. We look back at the text, the first part of verse 2. It tells us to bear one another's burdens. Bear means to carry with endurance, to have the weight of. It's the idea of just this tremendous weight. Burdens refers to a heavy load that's difficult to carry. And you know what, in this case, and in any case, it's probably the temptations, spiritual warfare, things that are causing your brother to sin. You know, I bought a tent. I enjoy camping, and I bought a tent from Cabela's around Christmas time, and we went to pick it up, this big, huge, heavy, awkward box, and plastered on the side, you know, was this warning. Say, warning, heavy load. 2+ people recommended. You know, there's diagrams and tells you how to carry it. And believe me, I know why it said that, because I was trying to carry it upstairs and wasn't working out too well. But, you know, this is the idea of walking alongside your brother, carrying the load with him as far and as long as needed to restore them. Helping to carry that load as far and as long as needed to restore him. Again, four things that we need to know this morning to restore your brother. Number one was that you should restore. Number two is that you keep watch. Number three is you bear burdens. And we get to number four, and as a result, you fulfill the law of Christ. You fulfill the law of Christ. Notice the second part of verse 2. It says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When believers, when we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. If we look at our context again, we see in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So this is loving with God's love as a model. It's the selfless, sacrificial love that we see in our Savior. Guys, loving one another is restoring your brother. Loving one another is checking yourself continually. Loving one another is bearing each other's burdens. In MacArthur's commentary on Galatians, he talks about a pastor that once commented, if I ever fall into a trespass sin, I pray that I don't fall into the hands of those censorious critical judges in the church. Let me fall into the hands of barkeepers, streetwalkers, or dope peddlers, because such church people would tear me apart with their long, waging, gossipy tongues, cutting me to shreds. Mm-hmm. Guys, I pray that that's not us. Mm-hmm. I have some closing thoughts for you, and then I have three things for your heart this morning. Guys, we need to be careful of the attitude that says, there's sin, it's none of my business. I have so much going on right now, I cannot add that to my plate. How am I supposed to do that? I don't have time. It's not my problem. Guys, I pray that that would not be our attitude in that. Listen, the responsibility to gently restore a brother that stumbles rests on our shoulders. So let me ask, how are we doing with restoring our brother? Our second responsibility to restore a fallen brother is to hold him up, walk with him once he's back on his feet. Guys, let's devote ourselves to daily to making that burden lighter. Right, ski with your brother down the mountain, right? Guys, we need to be sensitive to sin in our life and in the life of believers, and full of grace and gentleness as we restore. Got three things for your heart this morning to consider. Is there sin that has overtaken you? Are you fighting it alone? Or do you have someone helping to restore you? The second thing, is your tendency to ignore your brother's sin? Or on the flip side of that, is your tendency to play Junior Holy Spirit and running around pointing out sin in people's lives? And this reminds me a little bit of the story that C.J. Mahaney tells in his book, Humility, about the businessman that's at the cafe in the morning having his breakfast, and he's got a suit on and his laptop. You can tell he's got a full day ahead of him with meetings, but he has cream cheese on his tie. Right, and CJ's point is that we need people in our lives to be able to point the things out to us that we just don't see because our hearts are deceiving. But this passage takes that a step further. I need my brother to point my sin out to me, but in this case it would be like, hey bro, you have cream cheese on your tie, you look like you have a busy day ahead of you, here, take my tie and wear it today so you're ready. The last thing this morning, is it easy for you to bear the burden of sickness, unemployment, loss, loneliness, but hard to bear the burden of confronting a brother because of sin? Sin is much more harmful to a person than any of those. Let me say that again. Is it easy for you to bear the burden of sickness, unemployment, loss, loneliness, fill in the blank. But hard to bear the burden of confronting a brother because of sin. Sin is much more harmful to a person than any of those things. Let's pray. God, thanks so much for your word. I pray that you would apply it. I pray that you would restore the gentleness, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and be with these guys and be in your word. In your name, amen.